Hello, creative people. Welcome to Creative Conversations. My name is Holla Citron, and we are so happy and grateful that you have chosen to spend this hour with us. So, I am owner and founder of I Am Creative, and my mission is to expand the societal definition of creativity beyond a pencil and a paintbrush, and empower people, especially adults, to own their talents that come in so many different forms. So the beauty of this space is that I get to talk to people that have different jobs, hobbies, and interests, and we get to have a conversation about their experiences and perspectives, all centered around three questions. One, how do you define creativity? Two, how do you incorporate it into your life? And three, why do you think that it's important? And then we have a free-flowing conversation and we see where it goes from there. So I have spoken to entrepreneurs as young as 13, handwriting specialist, biologist, personal organizer, and so many more. And by them sharing their stories, we get to explore the space of expressing yourself, giving yourself permission to take time for your interests and explore possibilities. And by doing all this and incorporating it into your world daily, you will feel more empowered, connected, and dare I say, happy. So my inspiring guest for today is Sue Bishop. As far back as Sue Bishop can remember, she loved making things. Her mother raised five kids as a single mom, so money was tight. And she would never say no to a pattern or fabric. So her creativity in sewing was always nurtured. Sue wants to make her creativity to be part of the solution to our planet's health. Well, welcome to the space. I am so happy that you're here.
Yes, it's exciting to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Of course. You're very welcome. So I read your bio, which I condensed a lot. So maybe if you want to fill people in a little bit more, and then we will jump into the questions.
Absolutely. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Well, I was reflecting on my bio yesterday, and I came up with three aspects that may seem disjointed, but they do tie in at the end of the story. Mm-hmm. And the three aspects the three threads that have been prevalent in my life is one of being an entrepreneur, a spiritual or self-growth path, and then this creativity that expresses itself through me. Mm-hmm. So as an entrepreneur, I own a hair salon. And in that hair salon space, I have a boutique side where I display and market my sewing pursuits, as well as feature local creators. So they have a place to expose themselves and sell their work. And when I was as young as in grade 8, this is where my entrepreneurial spirit started. I made macrame belts and sold them at school.
Super cool to have to do with the macrame. It's great.
Right? And oh my God, how many years later it's making a comeback.
So true.
Right? So yeah, I've taken that up again in the home decor aspect. So entrepreneurship has been a thread. And then there's this self-growth aspect. And I remember as a young woman, well, I was super, super shy. And I did not like feeling shy because I felt that it kept me from experiencing life, because you say no to many things when you're shy. And I wanted to overcome that. And so I read a lot of self-help books. And I remember one book, I don't remember the book itself, but the message was, we are on this planet to grow. And it was kind of like a light bulb, hit myself upside the head. Oh, well then I might as well get on with it. Mm-hmm. So I felt like at least I knew I needed to grow And that has continued throughout my whole life in various ways. So besides just self-help books, Kundalini Yoga has been a transformative practice for me that has allowed me to embody those aspects of self-growth that I would read about. It's one thing to read about it and know it intellectually, but to actually have it be part of who you are, now that is a different story.
Yeah.
So this is where, you know, the yoga was so powerful in helping me feel my personal power, knowing it was okay to express myself, because talking was a huge issue for me. The very first time I got up in front of an audience, I cried, and there was 300 people. And I thought, oh my God, I am such a loser. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to feel like that. So that's a whole other podcast, is talking about how I found my voice. Mm-hmm. So the spiritual element became, and the yoga helped me embody this sense of self-worth in a sense of owning my own power. Along with that path was a clean eating challenge that I did for 90 days. So you learn in this type of a challenge the emotional reasons that we eat crap. As a yogi, I knew that our bodies are our temple and we shouldn't be eating this crap. And I wanted to kind of get to the root of it. Okay, so that's those two threads. This is going to tie in a minute. Then there's these creative pursuits. And you read my bio, which more or less focuses on that aspect. I've continued embroidering and macraming and felting and different things like that. And how do they all tie together? Well, now as an entrepreneur, understanding through the spiritual practice how precious the earth is and how much each thing we do in our life has an impact on the planet. I wanted my entrepreneurial experience for people to be one that does not harm the planet. So now I've switched everything that I make into natural fibers first and foremost, and working towards sustainably produced natural fibers, because there is a difference. Mm-hmm. So that encompasses the spirituality of the planet in my work. And I like the idea of being able to educate and inspire people to have this sensibility and respect for the planet and be and have a source for, you know, clothing and home decor that represents that spirit. So I think that's about it.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Well, it's been quite a journey.
It has been quite a journey, and I really appreciate you being vulnerable and stating that part. I mean, you said so much in there, but to just acknowledge the vulnerability and talking about the shyness, because when we spoke about this when we had our pre-conversation, I shared with you as well that I totally understand. I was that child as well, and I can completely relate to that. And I really like what you said in that it felt like it was keeping you from experiencing life.
Exactly.
And
how many people do?
Yeah.
I feel that a lot of people, well, every human being has these struggles to overcome.
Yeah.
And if we talk about it, then it becomes normal and it becomes validating that it's okay to feel like this. I'm not alone, and we can move forward to overcome these things.
Exactly. Exactly. It's, because you don't feel like you're alone, and people can be really outgoing, I find, but at the same time, like you just said, there are struggles that they're having in some way. And from their perspective, they could feel like they're not experiencing something. So I think a lot has to do with perspective as well.
This is so true. And I know many outgoing people that they won't, for instance, this is just an example, they won't go live on Facebook. Well, but you're so outgoing, you're so gregarious, you're so funny. Oh God, I'd never do that. Well, right. You know, so the outgoingness isn't necessarily a reflection of confidence or inner power.
Yeah, yeah, great word. Well, this is going to be a very rich conversation. So I'm going to jump into the would you rather question, which actually I was thinking as you were talking about the 90-day healthy food challenge. I was like, this is perfect. Each would you rather question comes to me for a reason. So
good.
In the thought of not the healthiest of foods, would you rather jump in a pool of chocolate pudding or strawberry ice cream?
Ooh. Hmm. Well, maybe I would pick the chocolate pudding if it was organic dark chocolate. How about that?
There we go. You can.
I don't know. Yeah, I would have some caveats around which one I would jump in, I think.
Oh my God. So funny. I was thinking when I saw that, I immediately thought chocolate pudding because it's warmer.
Well, it does have a luxurious sense to it, doesn't it?
It does.
And I like ice cream. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Are you more of a warm person than a cold person?
Oh, I crave the sunshine. Like nothing. I like the bead of sweat running down my back when you're on vacation.
So where you are in Canada, is it like the extreme parts? Does it get really cold or is it kind of like here on the East Coast? I think you're on the closer side where there's more seasons.
We're on the top of Lake Superior, so okay. You know that big lake, and it can get to, in the winter, minus 30 to 40 below Celsius. That's not Fahrenheit.
Oy vey.
And that's cold, but that's not, like that might be a week or two of a, you know, time frame. It's not our whole winters like that. This mm-hmm. year's been super mild. So we've had a pretty easy winter and all the snow's gone now, which is a little bit unusual.
Is it?
Yeah. So don't ask me how I ended up in a northern climate when I'm this craving the hot heat. It's not fair.
So interesting how it all happens and unravels.
Right? I know. Maybe so I travel. Who knows?
There we go. So actually, we'll get to that in the second question. So, okay. So let's dive into the first question. So, Sue, how do you define creativity?
In my mind, creativity is simply the expression of an individual's soul. And I believe that everybody's put here for a reason. And we often get caught up in having to earn a living and, you know, we pick jobs that don't necessarily resonate with our sole purpose. But when there's always a bit of a dissatisfaction on some level when we're not in tune with that desire within us. When we do tap into what really drives us and work with it, then I think that's pure creativity at its finest because it'll roll out. It won't be a struggle. So I just feel so impassionate about that idea of expressing what's in your beingness to do, whether it fits with what's normal or not.
I love that expression, what is in your beingness.
Yeah.
Because that's beyond the layers. That's like your soul, like you said. Exactly. It's your soul's purpose.
I mean, it doesn't even have words sometimes, you know? It's just this feeling or this itch that needs to be scratched. It needs to be expressed. It needs to be discovered.
Yeah. It should be scratched. Yeah, and I guess in that light, it's kind of like it's not always comfortable.
Well, and it isn't because
it's okay.
You often have to go, outside your comfort zone.
Yeah.
To embrace it. And B, you have to sort of swim upstream, as it were, in terms of, you know, the 9 to 5, the expectations that society puts on us, right?
But it's kind of like a lot of times I feel like we are going upstream when, if you listen to Abraham Hicks, then it's kind of about going downstream. So it's like you want to go downstream, because if you're going upstream, then you're just fighting. It's struggle. But you want to spend more time going downstream.
Oh, definitely. I see that analogy. Yeah. Yeah. Instead of, well, I guess it would be like, instead of fighting the itch, go with it. Play mm-hmm. with it. And then yeah. it will feel like downstream.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
I guess that's where it is. It's like not in the fighting. It's like acknowledging and acknowledging that there is, again, saying there is that itch, and being like, okay, so how am I going to handle it? Not to say that emotion and stuff doesn't come with it, because we're human and we express and that kind of thing. But I think for me, it's a matter of how I internalize it, because the old me, not to say that I don't still do it, but I've changed a lot in it, would kind of fixate and worry. Whereas the newer version and moving forward version is much more like, okay, so how are we going to fix it? Or how are we going to go with it and not perseverate on it?
Exactly. And nothing's a mistake. It's just a readjustment. It's just maybe a guidance system. Oh, but that's maybe got to get tweaked in a different manner. So instead of getting caught up on, you know, what we think isn't working, just how do I readjust? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like you go around the pothole instead of having to dive into it, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I could do it this way.
Yeah.
Yeah. We get caught up on perfection rather than just kind of going with it and letting the little bumps take us maybe in a slightly different direction.
Yeah. You just made me think.
And when you're younger, you fixate on all of this way more. I love being a little bit older, because you don't give a shit as much, you know?
It's true.
It's so liberating.
It is so liberating. Yeah, that's where I said, like, when I left the classroom when I was 51, I made the decision not to come back. And, you know, I call it the fuck you 50s. I'm just like, you know, halfway there, more than halfway there. And I need to put myself in a different headspace. Grateful for everything I've done. Love the kids. Love this. But I need to change this for me. And exactly. Not just for me, for my family, because I was starting to take it out on them. Frustrations and anxieties was coming out on them. So they were very grateful.
Well, you know, I was listening to Gabor Maté podcast. Are you familiar with him?
No.
He's a childhood trauma expert, and he lives in Vancouver, and he's worked with drug addicts.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing very profound that he said was the best thing you can do for your children is work on yourself and be your self-fulfilled, happy own person.
Mm. Yeah.
Then they, if you're happy, they know the world's right. You know what I mean? And you're setting an example that it's okay to be happy. You don't have to be a narcotic bitch. Not narcotic. What's the word? Neurotic bitch.
Neurotic. It's true.
You know what I mean? Oh, yeah. It's okay to be happy. God, what a concept.
It's so true. And you just made me think, too, like our daughter, she's 18 now, but I think she probably said it when she was, I don't know, she may have been like 13 when she said it. But my mom, Skylar said something to the effect of, my mom was worried about something and she was getting stuck on it. And Skylar said, well, Grandmom, it's not my problem. And it didn't come out like in a rude way of I don't care about you. But my mom was like, so wait a minute. If it's not an issue really of mine, but I'm taking it on, then I can just say it's not my problem. And Skylar, the 13-year-old or whatever, was like, yeah. And my mom was like, oh my God, how freeing is that?
Right?
My mom was in her 70s, you know, at the time, her early 70s. She's like, oh my gosh, what a concept. It's not my problem.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying about doing the inner work. You will create those boundaries a lot easier than waiting till you're 70 and some 13-year-old genius with some sort of flippant remark, and it hits you. Oh my God, I've done this my whole life. And it just hit me now. Oh, all the years I wasted, right?
Right.
That inner work is so important. So, you know, you're not 70 getting it. You know, maybe you're 40, maybe hopefully younger, but it's critical.
It is critical.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit more about the Kundalini yoga and how that really opened you up.
Well, Kundalini yoga works on all layers of your being, your physicality, your spirit, and your soul. Many yogas, they're all fantastic, but are more focused on the physical. And so while my physicality was getting stronger, especially the core, that solar plexus area is so important to be strong. That's where, in the lower three chakras, it's all our sense of groundedness on the planet. It's, you know, it's this, the how we have a house, we have a roof over our head, we have food. So it's the basic requirements of staying alive. And so many people don't get out of that fear around everything, money, house. So how do you discover your life purpose if you're just stuck there? And so in Kundalini yoga, we work on connecting our life purpose, our work, through the heart center, which is the next chakra, and that's the center of love. So when we work with love, when we do our life purpose with love, then we are something in the world. So by strengthening my solar plexus area, I started to feel this strength as a person, strength in my body and strength in who I was and when I expressed myself. I used to be afraid to have a staff meeting and I owned a business. Like, can you imagine? Mm-hmm. I don't know how I got as far as I did with that fear. But Kundalini yoga gave me a sense of who I am and that I can express it. And because I felt such a connection to the planet and that we're all connected as human beings, we all come the same energy pool, I could see that instead of fearing that person or the repercussions of what I may deliver, that I could just observe it and recognize that it was their fear. I didn't have to take it on. So this was the power of Kundalini yoga, is acknowledging my power within the collective, if you will, and then being able to look neutrally at people's behaviors, love them as a person within this very same energy pool that we all exist, but recognize they're just in a place of fear right now. They don't recognize their power. I don't know. Did any of that make sense?
Yeah, it did. Yeah. It's incredibly powerful. And it kind of stuck out to me when you were saying, I don't know how I got this far, like in being a business owner and having fears, you know, around speaking and again about expression, kind of going back to that, that kind of core fear. It seems like once you kind of dealt with that, everything else opened up. But it seems like you obviously, your power, I feel like, what is it, Star Wars, you know, the power is strong with this one. I feel like your power is just so strong within that it was able to bypass all that other crap, you know, all those other fears, because you knew what you wanted and you knew you have a message to get out. So even though you may have seemed fearful in all this, you're a creator. You created all of this. You created that business. You created your boutique. You created your artwork. You, all of this stuff, you still created beyond the fear.
Well, definitely, because don't forget, that is my self-expression. That's my soul. I have to create. If I don't create something every day, I feel a little bit lost. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I created in spite of the fear, but it's easy to create in, you know, my basement studio. It's when you got to take that now out into the public, because, I mean, I can't hoard everything I make, God forbid. Mm-hmm. I need a few houses. So, you know, now you got to market it. Now I have to use my voice. That's a whole different arena.
Yeah.
So here we are, you know, with COVID, so shutting down everything. And fortunately, I was already in the process of developing an e-commerce site. But that's just the beginning. Now comes, you have to market it, and you have to talk about it, and you have to stand for something. And this connection to Kundalini, to my creative pursuits, and to the sovereignty of the earth was empowering me with this message. Suddenly it all made sense. All these three threads of my life made sense, because I want people to get this. I want people to take sovereignty over their own life, their own purchases, and recognize, why am I purchasing this? Just because I want to feel good for a second? We overconsume, as you know, we all know. Mm-hmm. But can we make better choices? I feel so impassioned to share, you know, this message, because it's important for the future of our survival. Even simple.
Yeah. I mean, because you're not just talking about, oh, purchase this because, like you said, just for the consumption of it. You're talking about it from a soul level, going back to that. You're talking about it from a purpose level.
Well, and that's, you know, the name of my business, which I struggled with changing. That's a whole other story. It's Laat Living, and LAAT stands for love above all things. Mm-hmm. So when I was pregnant with my third child, 9 months pregnant, I had a nightmare. It was the worst nightmare of my life. And I sat bolt up in bed. Well, Hollis, you've had children, so you understand you can't do that at 9 months pregnant. Sit bolt up. Mm-hmm. And it was so terrifying that that's what happened. And this voice, I heard a voice, and it said, love above all things. And immediately forgot the nightmare. And I said, wow, they really wanted me to get that. Mm-hmm. And so I would never really share that story except in very certain situations, one-on-one. But it's kind of followed my, you know, thought process over my life. And so we get to COVID and this opportunity to do a web e-commerce. And I thought, oh, if I don't change it to that name now, I never will. So mm-hmm. I did the leap, mm-hmm. and it was almost like the floodgates opened up. Wow. Everything went so smooth once I made the decision. I felt so excited. I just felt, yes, you know, when you do something and you know it's the right thing, like leaving, you know, your education position, and you just feel energized. Well, that's what happened. And mm-hmm. so it just feels like the right message at the right time and the right steps to have taken.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's that whole, again, feeling it on a soul level. Keep getting back to that word. That's just like the word, the thread throughout. But yeah, like that's literally being woken up in such a fearful way and hearing that. I mean, it's intense, but sometimes it takes that intensity to get our attention.
But think about it. I had that dream like over, 30 years ago, and it's playing out now. You know, never discredit something that happened in your life 30, 40, or 10 years ago. It's so fascinating. It all has a meaning and it all has a reason.
So important to point that out. Yeah, it's so true. And you're making me think of, I've had dreams where, they happened same amount, like 20, 30 years ago. And it still stands out to me. Like I just saw it, like this motion picture is still right there. And I can still feel the feelings I was feeling.
Right. Yeah.
So it's so pretty amazing.
There's a reason. It is pretty cool.
It is. Yeah, there we go. Okay. So with the second question, we can kind of dive in maybe a little bit more too, because I love this that you said that, you've been doing this since you're a little kid. It's just really been innate within you. But also looking beyond it. So the second question is, how do you incorporate creativity into your life?
Well, you already heard me say I have to create something every day. It's just me. I'm inspired by looking at books about creativity, artwork, fashion. So I may incorporate it in that manner. I think that for somebody in their 60s that I'm pretty, well, maybe, maybe people would disagree, but I'm pretty modern. Like I kind of get it when it comes to certain things, fashion wise and, accessory wise. And I like looking at, things to inspire me to always stay current. Mm-hmm. So there's one way, but the other way is just creating something every day. I have a knitting basket beside my bed and I have embroidery. There's always something sitting there in case we're watching a movie in bed and that's what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Unless it's a really good movie. So I'm always incorporating creativity into my life. Even if it's thinking about what topic am I going to talk about on my next live Facebook? I'll try to get an angle. So, I'll give you an example. We were watching a Brad Pitt movie with Marion Cotillard, and it was in Cairo, and they were doing an undercover thing in the 40s for the Second World War. And she was wearing these beautiful silk gowns. Well, nobody wears gowns anymore, but they're so beautiful. They didn't have fake fibers back then. And all her clothes were just so rich, nice, beautiful linens or wools and these silk gowns. And I'm going to admit, doing my meditation next morning, a light bulb went off. You have silk? Right in the middle of my meditation. And I did finish the meditation before I went to look at my silk stash. And I thought, well, what can I do with these in a modern day world? So, one of my staff members was talking about making these kimonos that people wear as jackets now. And I went, oh my God, that's what I can make. So I did a live based on that. So, my whole thought process, I told the story of the movie and the popcorn and then going to the silk, and it was super fun and people thought it was really a great live. So, that's mentally, I'm always trying to find a little different route, a different creative route in order to express what I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so agreed. Like it really is within all those aspects. And what you were just describing to me, I'm hearing like storytelling. It's we have these experiences. And to me, I've always kind of envisioned that, life is to me a story it's even like it's a movie. So I feel like, hopefully we're playing the main character in our movie and haven't put ourselves as a supporting character, but we're all living our own little movie with all of our cast of characters. And, I always kind of envisioned, even when I was younger, that, you know, you're walking down the street and even you brush up against this person or talk to somebody in a place and you have this slight interaction with them, but there was still that interaction, which could have an impact years and years later. Like, you never know. Like, these experiences are stories. And when you share them, like you're saying in your live, from your experience of how you got this brainstorm and the light bulb went on and then it led to kimonos, I mean, that's kind of how that creative process works. It's like one thing inspires another, and then all of a sudden you have something, and it's just so cool.
It is. And I think I know people like to hear about that. You know, we're so ready to go, oh, nobody cares about that. No, people do. They do. So don't be afraid to tell your story. That's, I think, the message. And I'm blown away every time people go, oh, that was a good one. I'm like, really? Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm, you know, because mm-hmm. we still go to that little bit of self-doubt, little bit of self-deprecation. But, you know, get your voice, tell your story. That's, if I could tell anybody what they should work on, that would be it. Mm-hmm. Do the inner work so you can tell your story, because it's important. And people, there's somebody that needs to hear it.
There is somebody that needs to hear it. And even, I know, like, what you were just saying, kind of the word came to me was validation. Is we want a kind of validation, which is normal and it's human. Excuse me, woman. But at the same time, I feel like sometimes things need to be said for us to say them. And it might not resonate with a whole group of people being like, yay, you, that's really not what it's about. But kind of what you said before is, if at least one person, you can reach that one person, then that's what it was meant for. It's
exactly
not always going to reach everybody.
No, we're not all going to be, you know, a movie star with, you know, half the world following us. I mean, that's got too much pressure for me, but you know, you could be a movie star in your own little network.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I want to acknowledge all the people that are here on the live. I am so, so happy. We're so grateful that you are here. Please feel free to put any questions or comments into the chat box. The only person that I have up on the stage is the person that I officially invited. So just to let people know. So please put your comments and questions in. We would love to hear from you. So also in the beginning, you mentioned travel. Is that something that you do enjoy, that you have in the past enjoyed doing, or you enjoy doing, you know, see yourself doing again?
Oh my God, I live for travel. And yeah. So does my husband. Yeah. We'll come home from a trip and he's on the computer looking to see where, you know, what could we do next? It's like, if we don't have a trip planned, something's wrong with our world. And of course, right now with COVID, we've canceled 3 or 4 trips. Yeah. What I love, well, I went to India to do my Kundalini yoga teacher training with my daughter and fell in love with the area that I went to. And I can't wait. It's come into my radar 3 times, and this is how things kind of work for me.
Mm-hmm.
This opportunity to go to Jaipur in the beginning of 2022, whether it goes on or not, I don't know, to learn how to do fabric stamping. So, you know, this type of technique has gone on for generations. It was at the threat of being kind of wiped out by modern machinery. But these people, they grow the cotton, they dye it sustainably, and they make a living out of putting the patterns on it. And it's a workshop for whoever wants to go, but led by women to go explore that. Now, I can't wait to do that. It's on my radar list. So I somehow resonate with India. We went on a cruise in the Mediterranean and then over to Greece. And it's like, as soon as we left the one sea, and this is going to sound funny, but hung a left to go towards Greece, I felt at home.
Wow.
It was something about it. This, it's like, I don't know. It seems like I've been here before. And it was just wonderful. Again, those tropical, hot climates. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I love travel. We've been to Playa del Carmen, Mexico. Like, it's just normal to go once or twice a year there if we don't have something else, just to get the heat. Like I said, I love that heat. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we, you know, goals to go to Egypt and Petra and places like that at some point when we can all travel again.
I have to put my, I'm saying this out loud so I don't forget. I have to put my daughter in touch with you because she's interested in fashion and environmental sustainability. And natural products. And she's actually taking a gap year and she's going to be traveling. And not sure where she's going to start off going, but so I'm saying this out loud so everyone can hear.
Thing with travel is it opens you up to so many other people and cultures, and you just go and you realize everybody's the same. They want a decent life. They want to raise their kids properly. You know, it's so easy to pit one country against the other or one cultures against each other. And when it comes down, that's just politics.
Yeah.
That isn't the essence of the people who live there.
Yeah.
So let's stop it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's incredible. Thank you for saying that. And I think what that is the center of everything, love and joy and
it
happiness,
should be.
Which is what everybody wants. Generally, I mean, that's like the core of things. Why do you do this? Why do you do that? Why do you want that? And not for the material reason, like it's your core. What do people want? That's what makes us, when you're saying about travel, and that's what you see, is this is what people want. It's worldwide. It's what makes us human. It's the connection.
Well, and can you imagine if we conducted our lives from that perspective, love for ourselves first and foremost? And that's a huge thing to tap into, let me tell you. Well, and then love of fellow human beings, no matter if they agree with you or not.
Yeah.
Recognizing the essence of them, and then extending that to the earth itself and to the biodiversity, the forests, the oceans. We could create paradise on earth if we operated from that place of love instead of fear. Did you ever read The Course in Miracles or do The Course in Miracles?
I have not heard of it, and I haven't.
Well, I did it years ago. It's supposed to take a year. It took me two, so I'm a little developmentally challenged, whatever. But that was transformative, because if you look at any emotion, there's only fear and love. Those are the only two, and any emotion can be dropped into either of those two categories. So that's interesting to just black and white it like that and go, wait a minute, what am I feeling? Is that a fear emotion or is that a love emotion? Mm-hmm. What is that person? How are they behaving? Are they behaving in a fear mode or a love mode? It's fascinating because you can spot it right away if you put it in that perspective instead of getting all, you know, jumbled up in all the other emotions that we... And then it's so much easier to understand them, so much easier to forgive them, so much easier to love them.
Yeah. Yeah. It comes from that place of, well, when you hold on to, when somebody else is in that fear state or something and we react instead of responding and all that, I mean, who is it hurting when we're holding on to it? It's not hurting them, it's hurting us.
Well, and yeah, and plus you're allowing them to kind of, tread on that boundary that we should be creating.
Yeah.
And you maybe aren't saying the right thing in a loving manner that they need to hear, that might kind of uncoil the fear that they're expressing.
Mm. Someone put into Dan's asked, which I think is a great question, actually, and I'm curious to hear what you think, and I'll share what I think to the best of my ability. He said, how will you describe color to a blind person?
Wow, that's a powerful question.
It is, right?
So you have to describe it, I think, in terms of emotion.
Yeah, that's what I was
thinking. I think I would describe it as vibrancy, as joy, as pure love. Then they might get a sense because they could feel color instead of having to use their physicality to see it.
Yeah. Yeah, you took it on to a deeper level. But yeah, that's what I was thinking, Dan's, was that it's an emotional connection. People have their favorite color, I mean, because they see it and it creates a feeling to it. So I would say, what does that feel like? And then attach it to that. I feel happy. That's a bright yellow. I feel sad. That's a darker green. I don't know if that makes sense.
Well, it does. And when you think about the different colors and all their different nuances, each color would have, depending on the person, different emotional words to describe it, right?
Yeah. That was actually something I did in the classroom where I put the, because we were talking about color and line and shape and color and emotion, and had a whole bunch of colors, yellow, turquoise, blue, blah, whatever. Or no, I'm sorry. I had the emotion. So happy, sad, excited, nervous, whatever. And I'd give them 30 seconds to pick a crayon color, and I'd say, you're feeling excited, what color? And they'd pick a color. And it's just always interesting to see what people picked to resonate with.
Yeah,
that. They had fun with it. And it was just really, from a sociological point of view, it was just interesting to see what people picked.
Yeah, and, you know, not giving them a lot of time to think about it. It's more, I think, soul felt response, which could tell you quite a bit, actually, you know.
Yeah, it's like when you said angry, it was a darker color. It was always some sort of, it was predominantly black, but if not black, like a dark green or a dark blue or something, like there was a darkness associated with it.
Definitely.
So yeah, thank you for bringing that up. That was a really good question. We are almost at the top of the hour. So I am going to get to the third question, which is pretty much, you know, stuff that we touched on, but so why is creativity important?
Well, it goes back to the first question as what's the definition? It's important because it is the expression of our souls. And if we're not expressing our souls, I think that's what's causing all the trauma and drama in the world. Mm. I think it's basically that simple. If we were truly in love with ourselves, truly in touch with who we are and what we're here to do, we would be expressing that happily and joyfully. There'd be a lot less crap going on, a lot more understanding, a lot more compassion. Now I read a book about a woman who had a Kundalini awakening experience. And for those who aren't familiar with that, it would be like energy moving up the chakra system. But she was on the verge of suicide and she expressed herself through art. That was the only way she knew how to have a voice for herself. Now, that hit me pretty hard because I thought, wow. And as a society in general, we kind of marginalize anything artistic as not being as relevant, shall we say, as science or math.
Right.
But there was a poor person that could have killed herself. She had that divine intervention, right, when she was going to do the deed. And she, you know, got herself out of it and started honoring her creativity more. But I thought that is why it's important, because everybody expresses that part of themselves, the essence of themselves, differently. Even if they're an accountant or even if they do it through science, science is creativity. It is art. It's time to stop putting everything in little boxes.
Exactly. Oh my God. Amen. 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 To all of that.
Yes. You know, our head is attached to our body. We don't put it in a separate box. We honor the whole body, or we should be. But when it comes to these professions, we always want to categorize everything, or, you know, yeah, delineate it instead of recognizing the flow of art through everything, the flow of creativity through everything.
That's, thank you very much. Like, this is my mission. This is all of our missions. I mean, it's all of our missions, and we do it in different ways, but this is, thank you so much. I mean, it's what I'm so passionate about is empowering. I mean, I've seen it so many times. You know, one example is a wonderful friend of mine. She was doing all of these classes that, you know, she felt for a creative outlet. She's an avid reader. She knits. She takes all these art classes and all this. And she just didn't feel like it was completely her. Enjoyed it, but didn't feel like it was completely her. But she is this incredible, incredible second grade teacher. Like a teacher where you're like, oh my God, my kid has to have her. She is such an out of the box thinker. So hands-on, really allows them to express and think for themselves. And when she, all of a sudden it dawned on her that her teaching was her creative expression, she was like, oh my God, I feel like a weight was lifted off of me. Like, right? I've been searching for this thing, thinking that I had to look outside of myself all of this time for this thing. And it was right there.
See, all of the answers are inside of us. If I could tell anybody, you don't have to, again, it's because we've compartmentalized creativity as some kind of crafty or artsy thing. No, no. Your creativity is the weight lifted off. Your creativity is tapping into whatever is your mojo. Mm-hmm. That is true creativity.
Yeah.
Whether it's a teacher, whether it, in my case, it's this tactile working with fibers, and let's call it what it is. The inner work helps you tap into it. It's so critical. And I'm so glad she realized that. How many people go their whole lives and they don't ever tap into it.
And I think it's important to recognize. It is the travesty. And I'm sorry, I just interrupted you. Did you want to say something more? Did you want to say add to
that? No, that was it. No, that was it.
Somebody that I've spoken to recently, she's a medium and she's an energy healer. And we were talking about this topic of purpose. And we kind of touched on the fact that it doesn't have to be this big, because people can get overwhelmed where they're like, I don't know what my purpose is. Like, why am I here? What is my purpose? And the way that she explain something which kind of stands out to me too is it could be your purpose could be, she gave an example of a little boy running and falling and hurting himself, and you, that person, being there to make him feel better and say that he's okay and help him. And that could help in some way have healed childhood trauma of him not feeling supported or whatever. So in a sense, that could have been her purpose, not in the whole grandiose scheme of things, but that was a purpose. So I don't know. It just resonated with me. And I'm just curious what you think about something like that.
I think that's so true because we think we have to have this purpose that has this great, great big kind of, shall we say, motion picture epic kind of thing. And then we forget to live in the moment every day where things that we do serve a purpose, like consoling that little boy. Maybe that was the kindest encounter he's had in weeks. Do you know? How do you know? And when we, you know, Jessica Chastain had an interesting, I read an interview with her, and she says when she meets somebody or is having a conversation with somebody, she plants both feet, she looks them in the eye, and she listens to them as if they're the only person, the most important person in the room. There's no chance encounters. What kind of energy can you bring to every encounter? Is it distraction or is it total honoring of them as a person? Imagine if we lived our life like that.
You know what? That is a perfect place to wrap this up on, Sue, is to bring that awareness to people and put that out there exactly how you just said it. What kind of energy are you bringing? Are you acknowledging people? Are you to every day and everything?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, when someone's speaking, are you truly listening to them or is your mind just going to what you're going to make for dinner?
Exactly. They know you're distracted at some level and not really listening.
Yeah.
That's not fair.
Yeah. So as much as we can be in the moment and have that awareness, are we perfect? No, we're human. So real quickly address this question Dan's just put in here, and it's a little, I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but you just said when someone is angry with you, how do you handle it? Depends on how that is. You're and what that, I mean, I can ask you, he asked both of us, when someone is angry with you, how do you handle it? Do you have a quick response to that, Sue?
Well, firstly, I take a deep breath because a deep breath and a long exhale helps to calm you. You don't get grabbed into the energy. And you ask questions. Mm-hmm. And we don't have time to go into it. You ask a lot of questions. So what's upsetting you? Because sometimes it's not the actual thing that they're telling you. It's a deeper issue or it's a deeper thing. And then I'd be willing to talk to you about this. Can we talk about it calmly instead of elevated? Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's my quick answer. I don't know if it doesn't always work.
Yeah, no, but I think it's good points to bring up too. And I've learned to kind of separate myself from a situation when it's a heated kind of space, saying, I want to be able to address this or talk to you, but I need to step away for a few minutes. Or however much time you need in order to then be able to engage in a calm way. Because when people are yelling, it gets absolutely nowhere.
Well, and there, it's just a power struggle. It has nothing to do with what's really going on.
Yeah, yeah. So hope that helps, Dan. Okay, so Sue, can you please tell everybody how they can connect with you?
Certainly I can. My Facebook handle is Laat Living. L-A-A-T, love above all things. You can remember that. My Instagram handle is at Laat Living, and my e-commerce site is laatliving.com. Yeah, and it's got a heart mandala is my logo with the Laat Living. Yeah.
Well, wonderful. I am going to put all of this stuff into all of your information is going to be in the bio of the podcast. So it'll be easy to find, but at least they've heard it as well. And Sue, I am just so grateful that you've chosen to spend this hour with us. Thank you so much.
Oh my gosh. It was so much fun. It's such good conversation. Yeah, I loved it. It's very exciting to be able to talk about all of this creative stuff that's we're gonna make a new world.
We're on such a mission here, And, you know, this space and all of it is all about inspiring, connecting, and sharing stories. So please, please like, follow, and share so we can hear these incredible stories like Sue told and just connect each other and empower each other and lift each other up because we need this. It is so, so needed. And Trudy, who is on the call, I get to speak to her today in about an hour. So looking so forward to it. Another two podcasts in one day. So thank you so much, listeners. And I wish you a wonderful morning, afternoon, evening, wherever you are in this world. And we'll be speaking to you again really soon. Bye, everybody.